coast is clear for them to hit the streets of North London again after a couple of days in hiding. That's what a defeat in a derby does, but they've responded here and they're looking for another. Son, they have another! They're showing their class. Southampton don't have an answer.
Welcome to EPL 1300, Lexington's only show covering the English Premier League.
Story career given away by Rojo. Mkhitaryan could be in here. Plays it back to Aubameyang for Arsenal. Oh, it's going to be an own goal. The sliding challenge came in. I'm sure Aubameyang will claim it. But Arsenal take the lead at Old Trafford. A horror show at the back for Manchester United. And meanwhile, look at the red. Lingard is in. Jesse Lingard equalises. Remarkable scenes at Old Trafford. What's happening out there, Lee?
Now, here's the host of EPL 1300, Lauro, Colly, and Mickey.
What's happening out there, Lauro?
I'm sorry. I am sorry. I'll say it again. There are no better play-by-play and analysts in sports than the English Premier League.
They're hilarious.
I mean, it is their knowledge, number one, the way they call games, number two, and things like that. I mean, it's fantastic. It makes NFL and all and stuff unwatchable for me. Golf, all of it. I think in another life, Colly and Mickey, I think in another life I was absolutely, well, Irish probably, but possibly
bit of
English.
A stretch.
No. Welcome, everybody, to EPL 1300. Colly, Mickey, and Lauro. How are we doing, fellas?
I'm full to the brim of soccer. There's been so much over the last... Well, since we were on last week.
I mean, this is awesome.
We're in that time of year where there's like one day off and 6 days on. And
it's like the NBA now. So
if you're a soccer fan, it's the best time of the year. Yeah.
It is. If you're on one of these teams, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
I mean,
tell you what, if you're an Arsenal supporter, you're pretty happy over the last couple of days.
It's been an all right week for them.
Yeah.
I was reading a stat that they've gone 20 games unbeaten. Now,
20?
Yeah.
Unbeaten.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which is huge considering what was happening.
All competitions. Not all competitions,
But that still includes the Premier League, includes Cups, includes UEFA, all that other
stuff. Have we heard from the Gooner?
No, too busy working. That's the way it is.
Too busy working?
Yeah.
I mean, Arsenal fan,
I think
the biggest, and all right.
I really wanted him in here so he could absolutely take the...
Mickey out of
from you two from the game on Sunday. That was
We're not talking about that game.
Of course, we're talking
Sunday.
About it. Of course,
no,
we're talking.
We have
great
a lot
game.
Of games to talk about.
It was probably
about.
One of the games of the season, to be honest. Like, it was so open.
Yeah,
and Spurs looked like they were in the driving seat. They looked like they had it, but Arsenal in the second half.
Yeah,
excellent.
A switch was flipped.
Yeah,
Emery made perfect adjustments at halftime, and he subbed in. I've forgotten who he subbed in, but he took somebody out and put somebody else in. And
it wasn't Aubameyang, was it?
Was it Lacazette?
Well, Aubameyang scored the goals, and he's been...
Aubameyang's the leading scorer in the EPL.
Wait, did he get any yesterday?
He has 10, I think.
He did not get one yesterday. They ruled 10. It an own goal.
Yeah. He probably would have scored that.
He would have scored that, yeah. It just happened.
If he puts boots on, he's scoring.
He kicked... Rojo's foot into the ball and that drove it into the goal.
Yeah, but he did it on purpose.
I think
it should have been his goal.
I don't
it was his intent.
Yes,
the intent was there.
Yes.
Yeah, Arsenal are in fifth place, sit level with Chelsea, and they're 2 points behind Spurs now. Spurs, in turn, are 6 points behind Liverpool, and Liverpool are keeping the pressure on City, which is very good. They're only 2 points behind City as well. So.
Right, but those two have kind of separated themselves a little bit.
Yeah, they're clear leaders.
Yeah.
Well, for the league to stay interesting, like really interesting, we need like some of the top five teams from, let's say, like Bournemouth are in seventh. They're ahead of United. We'll get to United later on.
Yeah.
United are in eighth.
Yeah.
They're not even going to go to the Champions League at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't think they will get to Champions League next year at all.
They're not even going to Europa League at this point.
So,
Get that button ready.
What was that? What was they saying earlier on? Are United fans happy being a B side at the moment?
Yeah. Are they? Are they satisfied being a B team?
No.
B level.
Their expectations.
Never. That's why what Sean said keeps on saying that Mourinho will be gone by Christmas. Or by January.
Yeah. I said Christmas, but
I think that holds true, and the pressure's mounting and mounting. Like the 2-2 draw last night. That's not a bad result against Arsenal. It's okay, but it's like they nearly celebrated the fact that it was a 2-2 draw against Arsenal. That's not good enough.
Our buddy Miguel Delaney wrote a great little thing about that also. What? About how that it's being celebrated as this great result. That's what they're talking about expectations being lowered.
And that wouldn't be a bad result had it been at the Emirates.
Yeah.
A draw at Old Trafford against Arsenal is not acceptable if you're Man United.
They drew 2-2 against Southampton,
who
are 18th in the league with a goal difference of minus 16.
Yeah, and just got waxed by Spurs 3-1.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that.
But Southampton scoring 2 goals is the problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Big problem. And then he sits out Pogba and Lukaku. Like, Mourinho, sits out Pogba, who, in theory, is one of the best players in the world. Like, in theory. Now, his petulance and the way he acts all the time, obviously, that is a problem. But he's still better on the field than he is on the bench. You know what I mean? He can change a game in the drop of a...
Drop of a ball.
Yeah,
and
drop of a ball.
And not to make excuses for Pogba, but how much of the way he acts it hinges upon the way Mourinho is coaching him? Because there was no problems with Pogba at the World Cup.
And no problems when he's at Juventus that we know of.
So, I mean, it's kind of a... Maybe those two guys are just terrible for each other.
It's stagnant.
Mourinho... Mourinho.
Yeah, he's
here. Let me say it again. Mourinho. Thank you. Is to blame for all of this. All of it.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way, you didn't hear this. I was talking to Mickey about it. We love Rebecca Lowe.
She's excellent.
And those of you listening who don't know who we're talking about, every Saturday and Sunday on NBCSN, the pregame and postgame shows for the English Premier League are hosted by Rebecca Lowe. And she's fantastic. She's knowledgeable and she's a great host. She steers the show perfectly. I saw where she was going to be on the Dan Patrick show. And I wanted to just see her in a setting other than the pregame show. I can't. She is amazing, funny, and she was great on that show. There's a reason I brought her up. Oh, she was talking about Mourinho. Dan Patrick asked her about Man United and Mourinho and Man City and all this stuff. And she basically said the same thing about the fans are alternately now, they get excited over a result that we don't think they should get excited about, and they're frustrated. And he said, will that ever become like a lower team? And she said, no, what are you talking about?
No,
it'll never happen.
I have many, many friends, but
name four.
1, 2, 3. No, I've got a few friends over in Ireland and in the UK that are season ticket holders for Man United, and they're not happy. Like they're like proper diehard United fans, and he's gonna go. Like he's gonna. The pressure will be too much. At the end of the day, it's a business thing. So the Glazers, who still own United, are gonna see that the value's not there in having Mourinho there. I think I bet you Mourinho has some kind of thing that if he gets fired, he has to get something like 15 million or something something in. But there might be something that if he goes so low, at Christmas time is below 11th or below 10th in the league or halfway in the league or whatever, something along those lines, that it's an automatic that
he's gone.
And he doesn't get anything from it. So they could be just let's just let it play itself out and see what happens. But we'll see if he stays and they give him money to spend at Christmas. I'll be surprised because
That'll be a good indicator.
Yeah, great though. indicator, because if he stays and they give him money, then they're like, okay, they're waiting for him to build something.
Right.
But if he stays and they don't let him do anything, then and they might like shed a few people. De Gea might go. Sanchez is probably going to go as well. Where you go? That's the we said it before.
Yeah, the worst ever.
Yeah, but he's petulant as well. He doesn't want to be there. Right. Like, he just went for the money.
Yeah.
He'll probably end up going to Barcelona and being a great player. Like it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
United, there's a dude, Luke Shaw, who plays left back for United. And he came from Southampton, plays for England. United bought him for 40 million about 2 years ago or something like that. And he's touted as one of the best soccer players, young left backs coming up from England. And Mourinho, he got injured. He got a horrible leg break. And Mourinho said he wasn't working hard enough to come back. And he came back from a leg break. But he basically called him fat. He said, "You're fat. You're not working hard enough, and all this." And Shaw like came out and said, "Like, I've got a different type of body than other soccer players. I've got like a Wayne Rooney-esque kind of. I'm stocky.
Right.
He said, "I do hold fat, but I'm fit as anybody here, and I can prove it. I've got like the beep test to show it." And he goes, "I don't know what Mourinho's talking about." Now, from a man management side, if you had a guy, young guy, coming back in one of the bigger clubs and he's coming back from a broken leg, do you press him to say, right, come on, let's go, you need to do better? Or do you say, you're doing well, let's get you back on? Like, I can see both sides of the argument, you know what I mean? You're like, you're not doing well enough, so let's give you the tough love, or else. But someone like that, like, and he's stuck in there, but Mourinho basically said he was going to get rid of him, and Shaw battled back. But he's still not playing him some of the times.
Yeah, well, that's the bottom line.
He just his man management is terrible.
Yeah,
he's a petty guy.
He's the star. He's the
special one.
There's no I in team though. Like, there's no one bigger than Man United, so that's why he'll go. Like George Best, David Beckham, Roy Keane, Eric Cantona, even not Alex Ferguson. He was, but all these players that were massive players at the time that people said, you can't get rid of them because they're the crooks. Even when Ronaldo was getting so big as well, they said they probably didn't want to get rid of him. But there's no one player bigger than United, and United will shed anybody. So they'll get rid of him. They'll get rid of Mourinho.
Rebecca Lowe talked about him calling himself the special one, Mourinho.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anybody that says that has a problem.
Special because he has one of the biggest wage bills and one of the still a star-studded squad, and he's in eight. That's why he's special.
And he's hurting them internationally. He's hurting their
brand.
Worldwide brand.
Yeah,
I mean they're no longer the most popular team.
That's why the Glazers will get onto it. Right. Like United were the biggest club in the world only
by a wide margin.
By 10 years ago, and then Barca obviously came back in and stuff like that.
Right.
Well, look, Bournemouth are level with them.
I love that. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to delve deeply into all these games that we've had, starting last Friday and continuing right up through last night.
Yeah.
By the way, Spurs 3, Southampton 1. I was angry. They gave up a goal at the end of the match. Nothing. I wanted 3-0. I wanted a clean sheet. And, long pass. I wasn't happy. But a good win after that Sunday thing that happened.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't be boasting about Spurs at the moment either. Like after that.
Hey, I can boast about them if I want.
You couldn't if you're in North London.
I'm not in North London.
I know, yeah. But
I'm in South Lexington.
You can still point to the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do we sit?
Third.
Correct.
Two ahead of Arsenal.
Correct.
2 points ahead of Arsenal.
Correct. All right, we'll be back. We're just warming up. It's EPL 1300, Colley and Mickey, and an empty chair with a microphone on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Olé, olé. It'll be the Spurs.
Do you really think so?
No.
Why not?
I just don't. I don't think they're a strong enough side to take that title from either City or Liverpool. That's my feeling. But I think we'll be top four. I think we'll finish in the top four again.
Yeah. I wouldn't celebrate that because that's they're just being the same. They finished top two, I'd celebrate
that. Yeah, if they can pass Liverpool. Yeah, but they're only 8 points out.
No, I know. I get it.
From Liverpool?
8 points out from City.
Five from Liverpool.
Six
from Liverpool.
Now, let's see what happens over the next month or so, and then we'll reassess. That's all.
Not yet. That's fair.
January transfer window's coming up. They're going to improve.
This is going to be huge. We'll talk about this, too. I'm glad this is soon now.
What about El Kloppy?
What about him?
Did you not see him celebrating on the field with the, what's that goalkeeper's name? Alisson?
Yeah.
For Liverpool?
Yeah.
So Everton, if you didn't see it on Sunday.
By the way, welcome back at EPL 1300. Yeah.
Well done. This just the way we are. We just chat normally. Really, the microphones are just here.
Yeah.
So on Sunday, which was Derby Day, it started off with Chelsea Fulham.
Explain that to people who don't know what that means.
It's your local rivalries. Correct. So it's like
Manchester, UK, the city has City and United in the same city.
Yeah, it's UK
it's
Louisville.
It's called the Derby.
It's UK Louisville, basically.
UK Louisville.
So, well, that's what it is.
Yankees Mets.
Yankees Mets is a more apt.
Why? Explain to me.
Because it's the same city.
Okay.
As opposed to Louisville and Lexington, it's the same city.
Okay.
Both New York City.
All right. So
okay. Anyway.
So would you say Louisville, UK, would be like Barcelona, Madrid, El Clasico?
Or Liverpool, Man City, or something of that sort.
Liverpool, Man United would have been.
Liverpool, Man United are more traditional rivals. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Back to it. So derbies, Chelsea, Fulham, whatever.
Yeah.
But then Arsenal, Spurs, great game, absolutely fantastic game. But then after that, Everton played Liverpool in the Merseyside derby, which is both teams are from Liverpool.
Right.
Everton on the blue side, Liverpool on the red. It was nil all in the 96th minute. And there was a goal that can only be described as an EA Sports glitch, where it looked like it ricocheted, hit off the bar, the goalkeeper didn't collect it, and then he just stuck it in the net, he just headed it into the net in the 96th minute of this really important game. And Klopp ran, not up and down the sideline, he ran into the middle of the field, onto nearly the centre circle, and celebrated with the goalkeeper, and jumped up into the air and hugged him, then ran back off the field again. He'll probably actually get a fine for it, but it was...
Yeah, I'm guessing he does get a fine.
Divock Origi.
Yeah, it's a player for Liverpool I've never heard of.
Divock Origi,
he's somebody, he must have been deep on the bench.
Yeah. It's so funny. And the way they wrote about this, too. Not the best look if you're Everton to have Klopp running out there and hugging.
And people were complaining that it was the goalkeeper's fault. It's a hard one because it looped up. It took a ricochet. Or no, it was just a terrible shot. It looped up like about, I don't know, 50 feet into the air, and then it came back down again. He covered the goal so it didn't look like it was going to go in. What he really should have done is knock the ball back over the bar because that's at a corner. It's not safety, but it gives you a chance to regroup and whatever. It was basically the last kick of the game, though.
Yeah.
So it was weird. It was definitely Pickford who was the goalkeeper. It's definitely a mistake from him, but it was just a weird, weird turn of events. I wouldn't hold it against Pickford. It was an anomaly.
People are holding it against Pickford.
Though. Yeah, I know.
The lead line on BBC, sensational circumstances as a terrible Jordan Pickford error.
They should just get rid of him.
Yeah, but how? It's not a save that he needs to make. It was just a weird.
Yeah, the whole thing was a weird play.
Yeah.
By the way, you want to talk about these rivalries, these derbies. This was the 232nd game between these two teams. That's a lot of matches.
Who's Liverpool, I presume, are the team on top?
I would think so.
Yeah, I think
it actually doesn't say.
Controlled Liverpool a lot more than Everton has.
Well, Liverpool in the 80s were the best team in the UK by far. They're one of the best teams in Europe, to be honest. Yeah, and then obviously we go back to the Spurs-Arsenal game, which was absolutely fantastic. Spurs looked excellent in the first half.
Yeah.
Absolutely excellent. Harry was doing well. And then he just capitulated in the second half. But it was a great game. It was very open, end-to-end stuff, and good football and game. And the dude, what's his name? The Wenger's replacement. Not Sarri, that's the Chelsea.
Unai Emery.
Unai Emery, right. Yeah. Unai Emery looked very, very shaky at halftime. Like the tie was getting looser around the neck, but the noose was tightening. And then they came out and did a great job for him. And it was good to see. As we said, Arsenal 20 games unbeaten, and we needed another team challenging, keeping up a high level. If United are dropping down, you don't want like just four teams just sitting there. You always need someone else challenging for the fifth or the fourth Champions League spot. And
right.
That's happening. And Arsenal could go on now and they could put a better run together and hopefully challenge into the top two.
Yeah, and as much as I don't like, on a personal level, I don't like Arsenal, the league is better when they're good.
Yeah, 100%. Good fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And they normally play good football as well.
So let's go back to the actual matches from last weekend. Is that all right?
Yeah, okay.
And go through these?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there are only a couple that we can talk about. Obviously, Southampton and Man U on Saturday. Leicester City 2, Watford 0, Man City 3, Bournemouth 1, blah, 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 these. The Palace beat Burnley 2-0. Mickey's Burnley team is just...
No, not my Burnley team. Oh. It's this man's Burnley
team. Oh, that's
team.
Right. I always forget that.
I don't know, but I'm a little disappointed to see Palace win because I have my plans for the summer transfer period, and they kind of require Palace to be bad.
That's Zaha, isn't it?
Yeah. At this point, I want Palace and Fulham just to both tank.
Yeah, Mickey has a couple of players that he would love to see move over.
Well, who would you replace then? Because Son plays really well.
Yes, I want.
You're going for depth at this point.
Okay, yeah.
Sessegnon is 18. Slot him in there behind Son as the guy who comes on late. Mm-hmm.
Sessegnon could develop into just a striker. The same way that Ronaldo did. He started wide on the left or wide on the right, and then he has the skill and the pace to progress. And now, no one ever thinks, now everyone thinks Ronaldo's just an out-and-out striker. When he came to United at first, he was just a left-side midfielder. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not saying just, he was an attacking left-side midfielder.
Crazy good left-side midfielder.
Yeah.
But, I think you put Sessegnon in. You slot him behind Mori, you slot him behind Son. He serves as those guys' relief, and then eventually he takes over Harry Kane's slot when Harry Kane ages out.
And what about Zaha?
It'll never happen.
What about Zaha?
Harry Kane's sure going to be like Tom Brady.
Zaha, I think.
Hello?
A cheater.
Sorry. We forgot you were there.
Hello? What am I, an empty chair with a microphone? This is exactly how it happened. And Sean said, I've been saying that for years. That's how the whole thing. Harry Kane, he's the Tom Brady of English football.
No, he's not.
He will not.
Ryan Giggs was the Tom Brady.
He'll be 42-43 and still scoring goals.
No, he won't.
Yeah, but will he be still scoring goals for Spurs?
No.
So you gotta have contingencies. I love Harry Kane, but he's not gonna be there forever.
Yes, he is.
No, he won't. he might be a one man club, don't get me wrong, but he'll be gone by the time he's 31, maybe 32.
How old is he?
He's 25, I think.
26, yeah.
I can have my dreams. Okay.
Sure you can.
You dream about Harry Kane?
You'll do,
you know.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm not the only one, pal.
Likes the way
you should have heard Rebecca Lowe talking about him yesterday.
She just likes him because they have the same nose.
She was actually talking about the way people think about him in England. And it wasn't just females, okay? So don't make it out to be like I'm crazy, all right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But speaking of Zaha, I think he's a pretty versatile guy. I think he can slide anywhere.
Yeah.
You need him.
Is the new field going to be big in a White Hart Lane? He needs, I feel like he just needs space to run. Like, he always plays well against teams away from home that have, at Newcastle, St. James's Park and stuff like that. surprised. I'm so surprised that he didn't do well at United, but that might have been man management as well. When he went there, he was young.
Yeah.
He's from London, and he didn't have the support network around him when he went up to, it's not that far away, but
you still know, wasn't home.
Still wasn't home.
Yeah.
That's why you can see him doing well if he goes to Spurs.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's why Mickey here, the new general manager of Spurs.
I got my plans. Now, they need to take care of the defense as well, though.
Yes, they do. All right. So those are the games from last Saturday, Sunday.
Wait, there, you didn't talk about Huddersfield losing 2-1 to Brighton.
No, I didn't.
The reason I say it is because Brighton beat Crystal Palace 3-1. And an Irish guy, Shane Duffy, I don't know if you've seen this.
Now it makes sense.
But do you know what he did?
No, but I'm just saying.
All right, on the 34th or 35th minute,
yeah,
he headbutted a guy and got sent off. But Brighton...
Oh, right.
You know what? It figures. He's an Irish guy. You know, the Irish can't control their tempers.
Yes, and we have large heads.
Sit down, Collie. Sit down.
I'm perfectly calm. Don't know what you're talking about.
That's always the scary part.
Yeah, but Brighton are doing pretty well. Chris Houghton has them in 10th position, which is pretty good. It's starting when we get to the halfway time of the season, normally you can really decipher who's going to get relegated. And we still have Fulham, Burnley and Southampton all on 9 points. Huddersfield, 10. Cardiff, 11. Crystal Palace, 12. And Newcastle, 13.
So yeah, I think there's your line. I think Newcastle's the first one that is in danger. I think West Ham have played themselves out of the danger zone.
I don't think from Man United down, I don't think there's anybody safe.
Really?
I don't think United will go down. But Leicester, the cutoff point is 40 points. You need to reach 40 points. So
we've played, 15 matches?
Yeah.
Now, so we have two.
Halfway is Christmas Day.
Christmas Day is halfway. Okay. It's actually gone kind of quickly, I think, the first half of the season so far.
Yeah, it has. There's been no... the main talking point, and I hate to go back to it all the time, is the fact how bad United are. There's been nothing else like really outstanding. City have been good, Liverpool have been good, Tottenham have been good, Chelsea are doing okay, Arsenal are a little bit better, Everton are in sixth, which is kind of where they should be. Bournemouth are doing okay because they're in seventh position.
Right.
And obviously, the Leicester's owner dying is a huge talking point. But
by the way, did you see the report came out about
something wrong with a pedal or something?
The helicopter crash that killed 5 people, including the owner, who was a beloved owner of Leicester. Yeah, the pedals to the rear rotor of the helicopter somehow disconnected. That report just came out.
That'll do it.
But you're right. If United were playing well, there'd be nothing to talk about.
Apart from the good football that's happening, like, you know what I mean? Last night, you had Liverpool beating Burnley 3-1. Everton Newcastle in a 1-1 draw, which is a great game, actually, for a 1-1 draw. In my opinion, I really liked it. Richarlison, the boy, got another goal. And Rondon scored a goal for Newcastle. And Richarlison's been a great signing for Everton, one of the signings of the year.
He's been a fantastic signing. And I didn't expect... You know, I remember reading about it when he said, oh, that's an interesting signing. But he's been pretty amazing for that team.
And then last night as well, Wolves.
My Wolves.
Beat Chelsea 2-1.
My Wolves. Wait, say that again.
Beat Chelsea 2-1. If Chelsea had won that, they would have been, 4 points off Spurs, is that right? Liverpool?
It wouldn't have been. Would have been that close? They'd have put them up to 33. They'd have been tied with Spurs.
Would have put them up to 34. No,
they would have been one up on Spurs. They'd have been 5 off Liverpool.
Yeah. So the fact that Wolves are going out there and beat... Anybody can beat anybody in this league except for Man City.
I was going to say.
But Wolves, one of the only two teams that have taken points off Man City this year.
Yeah, they're doing really well, Wolves. They're really, really... They're sitting on 20 points before halfway in the season. So all they have to do is finish the season the way they're playing. It's easier said than done.
Well, and I've spoken about them and their manager, who I love, who's Portuguese. They have many Portuguese players on their side. And there, I just read where they're trying to bring another one over. I just love that team because I saw that series about them.
Yeah. And Chelsea started out the season quite hot.
Just
going toe-to-toe, neck-and-neck with Liverpool and Man City. They didn't lose for the first 9-10 matches. Then they lost to Spurs 2 weeks ago Saturday. And now they've lost 2 out of 3. Losing to Spurs, losing to Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
So they've kind of come back to earth just a tad.
But you, like we said last week, I think I tipped Watford to give Man City a game. In the end, it wasn't actually, the City were really comfortable. They won 2-1. It was only the last 5 minutes where it was anyway kind of an interesting game. They won, who scored again? Sané scored in the 40th minute and Mahrez scored in the 51st. So a goal either side at halftime. But then Watford didn't score until the 85th minute. So City were actually really cruising throughout the whole game. Conceded one the 85th minute and the last 5 minutes were a bit tense. They're just fantastic. They are really, really good. And Pep Guardiola said you can never relax in the Premier League, no matter what. Someone's always gunning for you at one stage to try and get that win.
Yeah.
And because everyone's kind of fighting for survival from 10th place down, they're always looking for those points. It's no easy, easy games.
Right.
So that's what he means. But they're just, every time you think that someone might take some points off them or whatever, they just have that depth in the squad where you're going, oh, I forgot they had that player.
Oh, him.
I forgot they had that World Cup winning player who's only playing 2 games every 4. It's ridiculous.
It's and a good thing we like
that. That's what it takes now. That's why Spurs have to sign all these players in the transfer.
Yes, of course. All right, we'll take a break. By the way, before we do, I just want to say my Wolves are sitting 12th, and they're only a couple of points, I think, from Everton in 6th. They're like 4 points behind.
Four back of 6th.
My Wolves. That was a great result.
Great. Just before we go, just the squad depth that helped City rumble on. So Sergio Aguero sidelined, right? They're enigmatic scorer.
Ooh.
Always scores. Raheem Sterling, who's their top scorer, sidelined. They left him on the side. And he brought in a totally different back four, like a brand new back four from what played in the team previously. And he brought in Vincent Kompany, who's the club captain.
Yes.
He brought in England defenders Kyle Walker and John Stone. Like, look at that depth. Yeah. They didn't play in the previous. And then Mahrez, who scored, he was rested at the weekend. He didn't play. And David Silva didn't score at the weekend, but didn't play at the weekend, and he played last night as well.
And he's only one of the best in the world, really.
Yeah, they've got two full squads that are better than
most other squads.
It's like Alabama.
Yeah.
Nah.
Except they don't make as much in Manchester.
That's good. Ooh.
But it's the system. It's knowing how to. It is kind of like Alabama because everyone buys into the system and everyone knows the part they have to play in that system.
Right.
So if they get someone of an equal caliber footballing ability, then they can just slide in there. I reckon that that Guardiola has players like Aguero playing in right back and has like Kyle Walker, who is the right back, playing up forward when they're doing training games.
Yeah.
So that everybody understands every position on the game and what's expected of them, so they can see the ball coming from different perspectives.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Collie and Mickey and me. It's EPL 1300 on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5 FM. This whole show is
it's a great show. Absolutely fantastic. Right.
We're not even going to talk about the upcoming matches. We're going to talk gossip. Let's talk about gossip.
Why? Let's talk about the games that are coming up at the weekend. No, seriously, there's some big news out there. It's said in the Madrid paper on that Madrid that Madrid have agreed personal terms with Eden Hazard.
So that can't be possible.
Why not?
Why is he leaving?
Why? Because he wants to join the best team in the world.
Oh, there's supposedly, that.
Or one of the best teams in the world. Need a replacement for Ronaldo. So it would be a big loss to Chelsea. Chelsea aren't competing in anything, really. Like, you know what I mean? They're not. they're not at the races. So, you know, it's just that's just the way it has to be.
This is a huge blow.
Oh, massive,
Chelsea.
Massive. But at the same time, Neymar has hinted that he wants to play in the Premier League.
By the way,
I'd love to see him get kicked it up and down the field every week. You know?
By the way, since we're in the gossip section, did you see that tweet that I put up from Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah,
it was a picture of Neymar laying on the pitch holding his head, and Leonardo DiCaprio, who was at the PSG, I forget which match it was.
Yeah.
He said he was upset to find that he wasn't the best actor
at the game.
At the game.
It was gold.
It was a picture of Neymar.
Yeah, absolutely gold. Arsenal boss Unai Emery is considering a £15 million move for Club Brugge striker Wesley Moraes in January. Fiorentina and Valencia are also keen on him. And Cardiff are planning to move to re-sign the English midfielder Jordan Mutch. The out-of-favour Crystal Palace has spent the last 9 months on loan at MLS soccer side, the Vancouver Whitecaps. Vancouver Whitecaps, not in this week's final. Who's in this week's final?
Atlanta and Portland.
Yeah.
What time's that on it?
Saturday at 8.
Where's it being played?
It's in Atlanta.
So is it a home and home?
No, it is a winner-take-all one
what
game.
What are you, writing a book?
I'm just finding out the information so we can give it to the people here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a home and home. It's an aggregate score all the way up until the final, and the final is one game.
Okay. There's talk that Leon will sell Nabil Fekir to Liverpool in the winter transfer window. Liverpool were meant to sign him in the summer, and it fell through, and it looks like that might go ahead. And last but not least, looks like your boy Zaha might be leaving Crystal Palace a bit sooner than thought. Turns out Crystal Palace is not a palace.
Why not?
They have a zero hygiene rating because they're infested with mice.
In their kitchen.
In their kitchen.
In their training kitchen.
Yeah.
Where the players eat.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
for training, to be healthy. They have what?
There is
a zero rating.
They've been, zero rating. They've been infested with mice for several months.
Now, I don't know how the conversion works, but here in the States, a zero rating
gets you shut down.
Yeah. I would presume that they'd be taking takeout for the next
week. I don't
know
how the metric system works as well. But
holy cow.
That's not good.
The metric system, it's got nothing to do with the metric system. Took me a minute to get that. I was slow on the uptake there. Manchester United, like you wouldn't even know. Inter Milan could try to sign 29-year-old Manchester United and Italy fullback Matteo Darmian next year. When was the last time he played for Man United?
I don't think I've heard his name all season.
Yeah. You forget about it. He was a big signing when he came in, and then he's not getting played. He's out of favor with Mourinho.
Who isn't out of favor with Mourinho? I'm not. I think.
I'd say if he knew who you were, you would be.
Absolutely.
I mean that.
And I'd be proud of it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody should strive to be out of favor with Mourinho.
Yeah. It's the only way to be.
Yeah, I mean.
It's the only way to be. So we got the MLS game this weekend, which is pretty big.
Yeah, it is. Me personally, I'm a little disappointed Seattle wasn't in it. It'd have been nice to see the two biggest fan bases currently in MLS going head to head in the final. But Portland handled Seattle not with ease, but pretty easily.
Yeah,
to get to the final or to get to the conference final, and then they just dispatched Sporting KC
with no
issue.
Cincinnati FC are going to have the draft pretty soon as well, the MLS draft.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been kind of not shedding players, but they've got rid of a few players over the last while. And it looks like, I don't know how it works. Do you know how the MLS draft?
I honestly don't know how that works.
We'll have to talk about it. We'll try and get Lindsay on next week to talk about it.
Good
because
idea.
Because I actually don't have a clue how it works. Like, do they draft players from college? What way does it work?
I think it'll probably be each team in the league currently has a certain amount of players they can protect.
Right.
And then everybody that they aren't able to protect goes into the pool.
That's usually how an expansion draft works.
Okay.
So, but I don't know. And I guess Cincinnati can also make signings in the winter signing period like every other club can do. They're not prohibited from doing that just because they're coming up, right? I wouldn't think so.
Well, we'll find out.
They're gonna get somebody to make a big splash, a big MLS splash, yeah. Whether it's an older Premier League player or somebody, you know, on the downside of their career overseas, but a big name. They're gonna bring somebody in.
Right. Here's what I want to ask you about, Colley.
Go for it.
New Republic of Ireland manager Mick McCarthy.
Yeah.
Will try to convince West Ham midfielder Declan Rice, 19 years old, not to switch allegiance to England.
Yeah. So Rice's dad and mum are both Irish, but he was raised in England, in London. And he previously declared for Ireland, but he has never played. He's been in training squads, etc., and he played for the Republic all the way through the youth system. And then he's 19. He's very good on the ball. He's probably West Ham's leading light. He could be probably their best player in the next couple of years. So he has a chance then to be good enough to play for England in the international side. So he's got to make the choice whether or not he wants to play for England or for Ireland. And Mick McCarthy, who's just become the Irish manager after Roy Keane and Martin O'Neill left, and he was the Irish manager from, let's say, 1996?
Sometime back then.
To 2004 or something like that. He led them to the World Cup and stuff. He's an Englishman himself. Well, he's Irish-English as well. Like, he's got his grandparents are, or his parents were Irish, and he lived in England. So he's got a good perspective on it, and they're trying to get this guy in, play for Ireland. He can make a big difference for Ireland, and he'd get a lot more games at an international level for Ireland. We could build a team around him, really. And that's basically it.
It's a tough decision for a 19-year-old to make.
Yeah, well, if he's good enough and he makes it, like, and he's really good, he'll make a lot more money by being an English star,
right?
Because he get a lot more endorsements, a lot everything else. But if he's good enough and he plays with Ireland, like, you never know. Like, Ireland had better teams than England in 1990 and 1994. England didn't even make the World Cup in 94. That's a long time ago. But, you know, we're not competing with them at that level at the moment. We just don't have the talent base that they have. They've got tons of players that are of, like, excellent skill level, excellent players, and they don't do enough with it. Apart from last year, Southgate did well with them last year in the World Cup.
He did. Yeah. All right, well, we'll keep an eye on that. I'm hoping he plays for Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, it's a decision whether he wants to be just one of the guys for England.
Right.
Or whether he wants to be king of Ireland.
No, he wouldn't be king of Ireland, but you could definitely see him getting a lot more game time. Now, another thing is that England are nearly guaranteed to qualify for World Cups and European Cups all the time. Ireland, it's always a bit of a struggle.
Right.
So, you know, if he is good enough and he declares for England, he might have the chance of playing in more World Cups or more European Cups.
Right.
From my that's looking at it from a soccer perspective. From my perspective, he should be playing with the team who he played with all through his youth. That's the way. If he played for England all the way through, he should be playing for England. If he played for Ireland all the way through, he should be playing for Ireland. That's what Ryan Giggs played for England youth team all the way up to under-18s, and he was going to be the biggest talent ever. England were licking their lips. He was born in Manchester, but his dad's from Wales, and he ended up playing for Wales.
Yeah.
Biggest mistake he ever made.
Right.
And he's a proud Welshman and all that, but, you know.
All right. Well, seeing as how I was Irish in my previous life, I want him to play for Ireland.
Yeah. Big game on Saturday, just before we go.
Yeah.
Chelsea-Man City.
No, it's not a big game. Yeah, Man City, no, 3-0 or 3-1 or 4-1.
It's at Stamford Bridge.
I don't care where it's at.
Okay.
2-1. My Wolves just beat Chelsea.
City wins 2-1.
Yeah. Chelsea wins that.
All right. Okay. We'll find out what happens and keep an eye on all the other gossip that we like.
There's a full run of games on Saturday, full run of games on Sunday, and Everton and Watford are on Monday as well.
All right.
No Friday game.
Okay, good. All right. Have a great weekend watching EPL. Thanks, Colley.
Thanks, Laurel.
Thanks, Mickey.
Thanks, Laurel.
Thanks, Mickey.
Thanks, Colley.
All right, we'll talk to you all next week. It's EPL 1300 ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5.